Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Lamar has a back contusion, painful, certainly. Saw him in here getting treatment this morning and this afternoon early, and he'll be working. He's been classified as day-to-day on that, nothing beyond a contusion, but I don't want to minimize the severity and the pain level of that because it's legit, and that's where it stands. Yeah, he said he made a mistake. He said it wasn't a smart play. Well, we have a rotation. The rotation is Derek and Keaton, our first and second down backs. And we came to that in the last few weeks and made sure that on all those plays, it was one of those two guys. That obvious pass was third down only for Rasheem, which I think he had. And then the rotation was 2-1 as far as starting the series off. And depending on how long the series goes, you know, Derek gets three, four, five runs. One thing I always have believed is that, first of all, coaching at any level is a day-to-day job. Your job is to do the best job you can today and to do everything you can to help your players and your coaches, if you're a head coach, be the best they can be every single day. And it's never been about keeping a job. And there's no such thing as, like, your job or my job. We have responsibilities. We're given opportunities to steward those responsibilities.
Now, is he talking about the workforce in general or just as a football coach?
What's your job, Bob?
It's to drive the show, show up prepared, be interesting, entertaining. Now, whether or not people think that's real, that's up to their interpretation. But there is a job description that I have. And if I don't meet said job description, you know, get ratings, I get condemned. I mean, in this business, as volatile as it can be, you can be the most popular dude in your market, and for just whatever reason, cost cutting, you're gone. So, John Harbaugh was talking about, I don't know, same thing with his running back rotation. Circular logic is what I was getting a lot of. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's on vacation for the next couple of weeks. As we talked about yesterday, he won't be back until the first of the year, 2026. But Nolan McGraw is in studio with me, and we do have the fancy cameras, and Nolan doesn't get a camera in his production studio just yet. Now, when I was on vacation a couple of weeks back, you were sitting in this chair. Mm-hmm. How's that chair feel?
This is foreign to me. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with my hands. Now that I'm on camera, it's even worse. I always joke with people, this room is so much more quiet than the other one. And that sounds obvious, right? It's a studio. Mm-hmm. It should be quiet, right? But there's so much equipment humming and buzzing over there. It's almost like this underlying white noise. And then I get in here, it's like a sound deprivation room, and my brain starts to go crazy.
The old Maxwell Smart cone of silence, if you will, until we start popping off. And then you have people running in and out of your production studio throughout the course of the day. But, you know, we're not here to talk about what goes on behind the scenes at 105.7 The Fan and in a general radio stations in general. But let's get back to John Harbaugh. Job security. Didn't seem overly concerned with it. Tried to explain away exactly what he feels as though that actually means. But we know the gist of it. He's at a wins and losses basis. And if the Ravens lose more than they win, he loses his job. And he can mentor and he can teach and he can make men to be mighty men. Maybe more of a college issue than a pro issue. But if he loses more than he wins, he's going to get fired. And you get the calls. We take the calls. We talk to people out and about. I mean, we're sports fans, for crying out loud. Not even radio. Hey, dude, what do you think of the Ravens? Well, you know, and it becomes a conversation. This is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. He's been to 4 championship games. They were just in the playoffs last year. Came into this season. We obviously overestimated their talent pool as the betting favorites in some markets as the Super Bowl team. And now they're probably going to be on the outside looking in of the postseason, and people want him gone. But Nolan, as you know, people wanted him gone after 2022. John Harbaugh, we're talking about, 23, when they went to the championship game last year, and they lost a heartbreaker to Buffalo. Now, if they don't make the playoffs this year, maybe there's a little more ammunition to it. And speaking of circular logic, what the hell was he trying to explain away why Derrick Henry wasn't on the field in the fourth quarter of that game against New England on Sunday night?
Well, that's a whole nother topic right there. I mean, you got like 4 or 5 different questions, 4 or 5 different answers, 4 or 5 different people that are apparently responsible for it, including the players themselves. There's so much to unpack there. But as far as the job security, I mean, I was a Harbaugh defender for the longest time. And I don't even think at this point that like my dislike for him is anywhere close to what we hear from the callers or even some other people in the media. I just can't go there yet. But it's gotten to a point now where, all right, they missed the playoffs this year, which we all assume is going to happen at this point. If you don't do it now, fire him, I mean, when do you do it? I mean, what more are you waiting on? And I understand that he's a little different than the average NFL coach, where he's so long tenured that kind of comes with a little bit extra security. Bisciotti and him have been tight for the longest time. Bisciotti's personality isn't to be hands-on and meddling and constantly reevaluating year to year. But now it's at a point where, again, it's the same things that they, every single loss, it's like one of 3 things. Turnovers, blown fourth quarter lead, double digit lead at that, or getting away from the run game or deviating from what's working in the run game in some fashion. They checked all 3 of those boxes the other night. So now it's just, again, like what more do you need to see? And you throw in the fact that they would miss the playoffs, well below expectations, which were Super Bowl level. I keep asking myself, if it's not now, when does it happen? And I don't think if it happens now, it would ever happen. I mean, what more justification do you need after what we've seen this year?
Bisciotti did hire him 18 years into the tenure as Ravens head coach. He didn't hire Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl himself, 2nd year in Baltimore. And Billick was a year removed from being 13-3, and they had the losing season in 07, and he was gone. John Harbaugh has been here ever since and has had a lot of success. So the equity built up, we're not buying this anymore. I mean, this is, hey, look at Brandon High with the Orioles. They had 3 straight winning seasons for the first time in a long time. And they started poorly in 2025, and he didn't even make it through Belmont. He was going on the Preakness. So no equity built up enough for John Harbaugh to get that one more year scenario? Or is this kind of, hey, you went in here with maybe the best team you've had during your tenure, with a quarterback coming off arguably his best season, even though he didn't win the MVP. But he was first-team All-Pro, Lamar Jackson, of course.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. You can come up for reasons with cause to get rid of John Harbaugh. But I'll go back to what Vinny always says. Who are you going to get to replace him? That's kind of a tired narrative, too, because nobody knew who the hell John Harbaugh was when he got the job, when he replaced Brian Billick. We kind of knew who Billick was because the Vikings that year in 98 were maybe the greatest offensive team up until that time, until the Rams bested them the next year. So we kind of knew Billick was the hot commodity. John Harbaugh was the special teams coach for the Eagles. So I don't know. Who are you going to get to replace him? Maybe the next John Harbaugh.
Well, I mean, when you got Lamar Jackson on your roster and that going for you, I think that it's way more attractive than the average job that opens up every year, because this is what it comes back to for me. Like, another reason why you would say let's move on from Harbaugh is that maybe they've reached their ceiling with him in the Lamar Jackson era, that pairing of those two. Whereas, all right, you typically hire a coach when you stink for a couple of years, you bottom out and you reset. That's the average new coach in the NFL. And then you like to see some sort of trajectory. I mean, how many years does it take for them to get to competitiveness, to become a playoff team, then to maybe become a championship contender, a conference championship, and then Super Bowl? With the Ravens, all right, 18, 19, it was instantly right there, number one seed. Those expectations came right away. And then they plateaued for their Super Bowl window.
Yeah.
And that window, in theory, should still be open as long as Lamar Jackson's here. But now you've taken a step back. For whatever reasons have happened this year, and there's been multiple, but they've taken a step back. So just looking at the full picture, all right, you ascended, you plateaued for your window, and now it's a very short sample here for just a year. Or not, the year's not even done. You've taken a step back. So I'm examining the thing in full. I also take into the fact that he's 63. You know, is he able to...
Ageism, Nolan?
A little bit. But the average age of an NFL head coach is getting younger and younger.
Oh, yeah.
And if Harbaugh wants to buck that trend or continue to go against that trend, he should have something that says that he's adapting, showing new ideas, changing things, more creativity, things that I would typically see out of someone who calls plays themselves. But he doesn't. He delegates, which is fine in its own right, but again, raises a whole nother question.
So you want him gone, basically.
I'm in on him being gone at this point.
All right, here we go. What do you think, people? 410-583-1057 is the number. It's Vinny and Haney. Vinny's on vacation next couple of weeks. It's going to be me and Nolan. Mike Pope, he's producing the show for us as well, so we got a lot to get to. We also heard John Harbaugh talking about Lamar's back injury, big contusion in the back, and I'm not buying. I mean, I haven't spoken to Lamar Jackson. I don't have this mind meld where I could feel his pain threshold or anything like that, but... if he could have played, I'm going to assume, Nolan, he'd have played, given the importance of the game, understanding the situation with the Ravens, too. This is not an insurmountable AFC. And if the Ravens would manage to make the playoffs, which I don't think they will, but if they would have won Sunday night, that would have helped. They'd control their own destiny, basically. They could have been a scary team in January. So he would have played, I think, if he was physically capable of doing so. He got the pain shot. That didn't work. They were still up 11 in the fourth quarter. Let's not forget that. But I'm not saying that Lamar quit on the team. I don't think that's a fair assessment. Again, not talking to Lamar. And by the way, is he ever going to, I quit. Screw these guys.
You know what I mean? You're waiting on that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't think he did, personally.
No, I'm not.
He was hurt.
I won't take that leap either. I don't have any indication. I'll leave that up to some of the fans and maybe some of the media.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see what kind of calls we get today. I think it's interesting they called him day-to-day. That, all right, if they were still very much alive, like controlled their own destiny type of alive, day-to-day would be maybe you could get into the, all right, that's mind games. Even if they know he's not quite ready, you want to keep the Packers on the string a little bit. All right, technically they're alive. Technically Saturday matters, but I mean, come on, you know, you don't control your own destiny anymore. So I obviously tomorrow's the big day, practice day. But even then,
I think they practice later today because they play Saturday.
Right.
And plus,
they might give them off for Christmas too.
Right.
So we'll see. But even better today, we'll know. But even when Lamar has been healthy enough to play on Sundays, that still comes with a missed Wednesday usually, in this case, maybe Tuesday. So I don't even know if we'd get an indication after today of what the real story is.
Turn it up Tuesday. We're cranking it to 12. You want to allow? We got you covered. Send your song request. Plus, we're tax on it. For Ted, 583-1057. Mike Pope, he's got you covered. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. If you want to get in, you can. We got a full bank of calls. John Harbaugh, not worried about job security. He tried to explain exactly what his job title is. And, you know, I got confused, but I'm easily confused at this stage of the game. But they're 7-8. That's not confusing. And after getting a 6-5, they've lost three of their last four games, and all three of those losses were at home. So who are we blaming?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And count the holes when it's all said and done. Mike Pope, he's on the other side of the glass. John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. We were playing some of the cuts, including his explanation, what his job description is, whether or not he's worried about his job security. Monday Night Football, we'll get to that during NFL lunch. Brock Purdy went off. We got Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire at 11 o'clock. Preview this Packers game coming up in just a matter of days. So it's a short week for the Ravens. Back at practice today, later on in the afternoon. But let's get out to the phones. Let's go get Champ in Baltimore. Champ, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine sent me an interesting stat. He said Derrick Henry, when he was with the Titans in 2019 against the top-seeded Ravens, in that game included 30 carries for 195 yards, plus a 3-yard touchdown pass to Corey Davis. And the other night against the Patriots, he had 18 carries for 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, one fumble, not used in the final 2 drives. And it just begs the question, why did you get him? Like, he essentially came to your house when you were the number one seed in a Lamar MVP year, unanimous, and came in and absolutely housed you. And then you got the guy who you thought you could house other teams, and then you don't use him. It's really inexcusable.
Yeah, that's hey. Thanks for the.
And I'm sorry. My understanding of a CEO, you're the guy, and so you're the guy who can tell other people to make adjustments. And that's the pattern with Harbaugh over the years. In years that his teams that were expected to go far didn't, because adjustments weren't being made, and he would defer. Yeah, you know, my OC made the call. Well, he's the CEO. The CEO overrides, you know, some of these other positions. Why isn't he overriding these? Why isn't he inserting himself more? I just feel like he conveniently puts himself outside the realm. You see OCs and DCs get fired. I think it's kind of zeroing back to what's the Taylor Swift song? It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I think it's him.
All right. Well, thank you, champ. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. I know Taylor Swift is. I'm not familiar with the song, but you mentioned it. Champ just brought it up. Kind of delegates, defers to the coordinators. And look, we've seen guys, head coaches will step up. Dan Campbell start calling plays for the Lions, for instance, and we've seen it 1,000 times in the history of the NFL where the head coach will have to assume play calling duties and their field of expertise if things are going haywire for his team. I mean, your special team's a problem. Jordan Stout, by the way, made the Pro Bowl. We'll get to that. But John Harbaugh by trade is not a defensive coordinator. He's not an OC. But he is the CEO, where he's like, I completely disagree. Why the bleep is at number 22 on the field, especially in the drive after they scored the touchdown where New England scored? Let's accumulate some clock, and they've had a hard time. I would assume that Mike Vrabel was even like, really?
It's a free win right there. Yeah.
Okay, he's sitting on the bench. We're good because we're going to get the ball back now.
Right, and especially, all right, Mitchell, and this is the other thing. I haven't seen a ton of this, but there has been some of it, sarcastic tone usually, where are all the people that were begging for Keaton Mitchell to get carries in the early part of the season? Well, both things are true. Keaton Mitchell should have been getting carries, should have been getting carries this whole time, and then on Sunday, not having his best game, averaging less than 2 yards per carry, all right, everyone has a bad game. Stop giving him the ball. We'll try again next week. I'm sure he'll be great against the Packers. But for whatever reason, he wasn't finding the holes against the Pats. But who was? Derrick Henry. Any way you slice this decision, it doesn't make sense. And for Harbaugh being the delegator, being the CEO, I think that places even more emphasis on getting it right when you don't have to worry about calling plays on top of everything else.
We're in the fourth quarter of a game you need to win. And Derrick Henry is on the bench. And on top of that, your starting quarterback's out of the game. So you're in the fourth quarter at crunch time. And we mean this with all due respect to Keaton Mitchell and Snoop Huntley. By the way, the commercial where he's explaining the birds and the bees to that kid's pretty awesome. But if Lamar's not there, Derrick Henry better be. And neither one of those players were on the field in the fourth quarter in a game you need to win.
And we'll hear more from Harbaugh as the show goes on, because I do want to find the one cut. I think I might have used it for my update even, where he's talking about, all right, even flat out admitted, they get a do-over, Derrick Henry's got to be out there. Now, I understood his explanation of where the drive started and the play calls that were coming up, that they suited Keaton Mitchell more because they, for whatever reason, they just, I'll buy that. But then you got a first down. You reset. Whole new thing. Henry's got to come in at that point. Like, I, in theory, have no problem with Mitchell starting the drive for a play or two if it coincides with the play calls you want. But then, you know, you can't use the excuse like the Bengals a couple weeks ago where, well, we just didn't run enough plays to keep running the ball. No, you had an opportunity. You had multiple opportunities.
Let's get back to the phones. Chris in Parkville. Chris, thanks for holding you on with Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, and Mike Pope. What's going on? Turn It Up Tuesday.
Gentlemen, happy holidays.
Yeah, you too.
I'd like to piggyback on the first gentleman. It seems like, you know, this is a perennial problem. The same problems continue to happen. And when change doesn't happen organically within a team structure, you make change. I mean, every time after these games, where we screw the pooch in the fourth quarter, Harbaugh's there, and he looks to me like a politician. And it's just, this is a systemic problem within the structure of the team. And he's, the window is closing. Father Time's working against this talent that's assembled on this team. You got the salary cap, and the window is closing with the talent we have assembled, and I just think it's just time to make change.
Now,
you guys have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Chris. But ask you and everybody else out there as well, Nolan, you brought this up. I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves, by the way, that John Harbaugh is going to be the ex-coach of the Ravens. But if, in fact, that becomes reality, there's a mutual parting of the ways, or Steve Shoddy drops the hammer, whatever the circumstances may be, would you prefer a coach who does have
an acumen in one side, like a Jesse Minter, for instance. Bring him in who could at least, who's got Ravens ties. You know, say if Zach Orr is going haywire, and I'm assuming if Harbaugh's gone, most of his assistants are gone too. But you get the point where Minter's like, all right, defense sucks, I'm calling plays. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer somebody who's going to call at least one side of the ball. Of the two, obviously prefer the offensive mind, but those have been the hot coaching hires. You look across the league, that's what everyone's seeking. The young offensive-minded whiz kid, so to speak. And sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, sometimes a guy's hyped up as a coordinator and deserves the job, and then they get in the big seat and they melt, or the situation isn't right. I'm not telling you it's going to be a slam dunk whatever way they go, but after seeing 18 years here of a delegator, and at times it worked, and it worked very well. I mean, we can't sit here and say that the John Harbaugh era was a complete and utter failure. I mean, no. That's just a complete lie, right. You know?
It's false. Yes.
It's bottomed out here, and it's time to make a change, but I'm not going to crap on what the guy did here. And the delegating thing, it was working for a long time. Now it's not.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope. Vinny's on vacation next couple of weeks. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. I get a ton of these. Ton of these every day. Screw you, whoever you are. We'll come back, take your phone call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays. Sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'll turn it up Tuesday. John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. He was talking about job security, trying to explain why Derrick Henry wasn't on the field at the end of the game. I also talked about Andrews briefly, the lateral, which is a dumb play, which would have been neutral. It was a forward pass, so it, you know, would have been, well, why? I mean, what the hell was he thinking at that particular point in time? And Lamar Jackson has a pretty serious back contusion day to day.
Is there anybody happier that the Henry stuff is the talking point of the week than Mark Andrews right now? Can you imagine if he was the one getting skewered for that?
Because you're watching it, but you're in real time. It was asked, what the bleep are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Then was nullified by offsetting penalties anyway. But what the bleep was he doing? And even Harbaugh said it was a stupid play. He'd like to have it back.
Anyway, I look at it. You try to get inside the mind of the player. And I can't come up with any reason.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope. He's producing for us. Vinny's on vacation for the next couple of weeks. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, thanks for holding. What's up?
What's good, Bob and Nolan?
Well, same old, same old. About you?
Yeah, same here, brother. Just looking forward to a little Christmas reprieve. But I kind of had two things for you guys, Bob and Nolan. I think... Number one, I think our level of talent that we rated as talent offensively is a misnomer a little bit, because every team we've lost to had way less offensive talent than we have to some degree. And what I'm getting to with that point is that Todd Monken must be absolutely out of his mind. I mean, you're the offensive coordinator. Everybody's blaming the head coach for not saying nothing to a grown man who's paid very highly to make tough decisions. And you're putting in guys in the game that wouldn't even start on most teams. I mean, this was the most silliest of brain farts I've ever seen. And to be honest with you, I wasn't so much worried about Tyler Huntley losing us the game. I was completely worried about Todd Monken screwing the money up, because that's all he's done all season is screw the money up to give everybody a turn, fellas.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. Todd Monken screwing the money up, trying to make everyone eat and eat fairly. To Kevin's point, we've talked about this too, Nolan. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely combined this year, combined, have 64 catches, barely over 600 yards and 6 touchdowns. Combined. That's supposed to be one guy, not both tight ends.
Right.
And contract years, Andrews got paid. Likely is all likelihood, no pun intended, out the door when it's all said and done here.
See, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say that, you know, he's trying to make sure that everybody eats, because it's not just Likely that's not eating. I think there's a ton of guys that aren't eating. Like, we've been saying Hopkins should have more. To be fair, he did have more targets in this past game. Bateman, when he's been healthy, completely non-existent sometimes. So the ball's not coming his way either. It took 5 or 6 weeks just to keep Keaton Mitchell actually active on game day. So, I mean, that's been a whole nother side story this year of what's been so puzzling about the Ravens and their step back, is that they showed you the last 2 years that they could make having all these mouths to feed actually work and make it work really, really well, Lamar being an MVP candidate. And now this year, it's just been, all right, it's not like, you had to sacrifice some targets for Bateman and this guy over here. Pretty much everybody besides Zay is not eating right now.
Sure.
Even Andrews, when it feels like the ball is going his way, compared to years past in his career, it's not even close.
But it's just these Likely no targets. Bateman don't even know he's on the field until he's throwing his hands up in disgust as Zay fumbles. Tez Walker looked like he was going to be a guy that could help. Hop D Hop, and that was arguably his most productive game as a Raven. And I keep hearkening back to old people word. The first game against Buffalo, the first 3 quarters of the game, everyone was eating, and they looked like the most unstoppable offensive force in football. And since that game, no, it's been the exact opposite.
But to be fair, a good portion of it is on Todd Monken. I mean, he's the guy calling plays.
At 100%. Right? So, I mean, Zach Orr gets raked over the coals all the time. Mm-hmm. Why does Monken get a free pass? No pun intended here.
Right. And I would still say that the O-line is probably where it all starts. And that's just the trickle-down negative effect that's impacted the entire offense. But even then, at moments this year, especially in the red zone, you know, kind of screaming at Monken like, all right, this is the situation you're in. It sucks. You wish you had a better O-line. You wish they were playing like they did the last couple of years. But they're not. You know, we're 12, 13, 14, 15 games into the season. This is who they are. They're not going to magically change. And then Voorhees goes down with an injury. So even more changes. I think at that point, you got to say, all right, this is how I'm handicapped. This is how I'm handcuffed. How do I work around it? I can't call plays the way I did the last 2 years because we're not the same offense.
But you don't think he's at least culpable to some level?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like there has to be a responsibility to say, all right, I can't call plays like this is last year, and Lamar's just going to, you know, pull the rabbit out of the hat. Like, we got to scheme some things up and try to put guys in the best situation.
Yeah, and I understand what you were saying early in the season, because the O-line, and you had banged up players, and Lamar hasn't really been healthy, I would assume, for most of the season. But yeah, somebody's got to take the gaff. You got to take the gaff. Improvise and adapt.
There's too much talent
as they
for it to
say.
Look like this.
We'll come back. Got the Dirty Dozen. Is it Nolan's Dirty Dozen, or is it Vinny's Dirty Dozen?
No, it's mine.
Nolan's
100% me.
Nolan Dirty does it. So if you agree with it or not, we'll get into it when we come back. More of your phone calls. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire, 11 o'clock. Whip around left 15. Notes from the North. We're going to Pittsburgh. We're going to Cincinnati. And we're going to Cleveland. Phone calls. We got news from the Nats. We got a lot going on. We're going to even talk Orioles later in the show. Steve Molesky. As we talk about the offseason that's been for Mike Elias, and I would think it's pretty productive. I will say on paper, on paper, the Orioles are going to be better than they were last year on paper.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen, the 12 best NFL teams, according to our GM, Vinny Serrato, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, Vinny's gone for the next couple of weeks. He's on vacation. He's actually flying to the other side of the Atlantic, and we certainly wish him a great holiday and his family. We talked about it yesterday. He's on his way out the door, so it's not Vinny's Dirty Dozen. It's Nolan's Dirty Dozen. Nolan McGraw, Quick Draw McGraw, Bob Haney, Nolan, Mike Pope's on the other side of the glass. We'll be talking to Mike as the show rolls on. But Nolan, are you up to the task of picking the 12 best teams in a year in which even the teams with the best records don't seem all that formidable?
We're going to find out here in a second.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I don't have the restrictions that Vinny does in the sense that he's got to follow up what he did the previous week.
Yeah.
So his rankings, there's a weight to it. Like I had, say, the Ravens. They're not in there, obviously. But I had them at 10 last week. They lose, so naturally they got to go down. I can't wildly skip like four or five spots.
So
but
you're,
I'm coming
you're going
in,
all in.
Clean slate. I might be all out of whack. And if I'm wrong, let me know.
I will.
We'll start here with number 12, a team that I don't think has been a part of Vinny's for a while now, but they got to be after these last couple wins. Pittsburgh. They've done enough to get back into that Dirty Dozen
here. They're a win or a Ravens loss away from clinching their division.
Right.
And they're 9-6. They've been on somewhat of a heater as of late. Warren had the great game late running the football. Rodgers has been acceptable. He's not Aaron Rodgers of MVP vintage when he was with Green Bay, but he's playing better than he did with the Jets. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
No, and then you beat the Lions on the road when everyone, I mean, we're all picking the Lions.
Beat the Ravens on the road.
Wishful thinking with that pick, but still, I mean, he's playing his best ball right now. They're getting hot at the right time to the point where I'm not overlooking them. So,
fair.
Yeah. Number 11, your defending champion Eagles, a team that has been very up and down this year, but doing enough here recently to get in. They're beating weaker teams, beat up on the Raiders, got the job done against the Commanders, but they're starting to resemble more of that potential threat. I'm not willing to put them up there with the class of the NFC, and we'll get to them later on here, but they are at least putting up a fight.
Barkley showing a pulse here in December, in late into November, now into December. A.J. Brown's getting the ball, so we're not hearing him woofing too much. So, yeah, and they've already clinched their division, so they're a playoff team. There you go.
Number 10. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Houston, a fellow 10-win team. Now, this is all defense, right? And you could say, who have they beat recently? To be fair, it's not anybody special. Same thing as the Eagles. They beat the Raiders. They did beat up on the Cardinals. They did beat the Chiefs while Mahomes was still there and playing for something. So they have nice wins, beat the Bills. They went on that insane win streak when it looked like they were pretty much dead in the early portions of the season. Stroud came back, started to look more like himself. So they're kind of a wild card team to me in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's just purely carried by the defense, but in January, that could be enough.
And it's a team that 2 years running, heading into the season, has made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Speaking of running, can they run the football once we get into January, assuming they make the playoffs? And it looks pretty strong that they will.
Now we got a log jam from here. 6-11 win teams right now in the NFL, and we'll tap into them, starting with the Chargers at number 9. They're kind of nondescript to me, right? I can't say anything necessarily bad about them. And they do have some nice wins here. They've beaten the Cowboys on the road to finally finish them off. That's not too bad. Chiefs, obviously, the week prior, officially end things for Mahomes. They have quality wins here as of late, but they're just kind of hanging in the background. You know, I wouldn't necessarily look at them and say they're the top threat in the AFC or even a top three threat in the AFC. But if they were representing the conference in the Super Bowl, it wouldn't shock me.
Well, you got Herbert playing with a broken wrist. non-throwing hand. Isn't that what it is? Hampton and Vidal, give them a running game. This Gadsden kid has been a nice rookie addition at tight end. They got Quentin Johnston back, who scored a touchdown last week against Dallas. To me, the question is, what's the defense going to be like once we get into cold weather games?
The Jaguars come in at number 8, a team that I've been very reluctant to actually praise in any capacity this season. But how can you not give it up after this last win? You beat the Broncos, that incredible defense. You do it on the road. They're rattling off these wins. They're getting the job done. Liam Cohen, very deserving of potential Coach of the Year consideration.
No doubt about
that. A ton of candidates this year. But I can no longer ignore the Jags. They are legit.
There's your offensive guru guy from last year. Who's the Liam Cohen of this offseason? Etienne's getting it together. Thomas and Myers have stepped in for Travis Hunter. It's out for the sea. Yeah, Jacksonville? Are they the 85 Bears? No. But is it a team that could possibly make a run in the playoffs? Maybe. And Trevor Lawrence has been playing really well as of late.
The Bills are at number 7, and you might say, well, hold on now. I mean, the Bills might be the biggest threat because of what they have done the past couple years in the AFC, but we're going to hear this top 6 and this top 5 in a second. It's loaded with NFC teams, obviously. That's first and foremost. But I still can't have them ahead of your other top teams in the AFC because they kind of put themselves in a hole early on. They're digging out of it at the right time. Josh Allen, I know some people wanted to throw him in the MVP conversation. Let's just stop that right now. He's a great player.
Sure.
Playing fantastic. He's doing everything you'd want him to do.
He wasn't all that great against Cleveland.
No. MVP conversation, it's off the table. And they did barely squeak by the Browns.
They did win at New England down big a couple of weeks ago. I think that's the one you might pay closer attention to.
Sure. Number 6 is the Broncos, so there you go. I still have them ahead of the Bills here. And even after that loss to the Jaguars, I still have the Broncos pretty highly up here. Same type of thing as the Texans. That defense is going to carry them. Don't consider me a Bo Nix believer, a Bo Lever.
You're not a Bo Lever?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet. But he's quality. I mean, he'd be serviceable. I don't want to reduce him to game manager status. I don't think he's at that point.
But I was surprised Jacksonville did what they did against that vaunted defense.
Sure.
That was the surprising part.
So maybe a little crack in the foundation, but for now they're up there.
Yeah.
The Bears are number 5. Here we get into the, I mean, you could really order these NFC teams any way you want, but the Bears are at number 5. They keep rolling. Huge win for them over the Packers to give themselves a shot here. Are they still in consideration for the number 1 seed? Yeah,
yeah, they're getting behind Seattle. Yeah.
As is the team we're going to talk about next at number 4, the 49ers. So maybe you would flip-flop these two, but I put the 49ers ahead. I'm more impressed with what they've been able to do this year overcoming injuries, whereas the Bears, give them credit, they came out of nowhere. And even the people that had high expectations for them, I don't think they saw this happening. But even still, I'm more impressed by what the Niners have done.
And look, San Francisco's injuries on defense, well documented. But McCaffrey's having a great year. Kittle. Brock Purdy is now playing like the guy that 2 years ago was rivaling Lamar for most valuable player. He threw 5 touchdowns last night. Their offense, I think, can compete. Are the weaknesses on defense going to doom them? But yeah, to your point, they're one of the best teams in football right now.
Time for the top 3. The Rams come in at number 3. I mean, you could argue that they have the most talented roster, if we're just going off that they should still be number 1. But some tough recent losses. Lost to the Panthers a couple weeks ago. At the time, didn't think it was that big of a deal. They rebounded with a win. But then you lose to the Seahawks. A thriller. Maybe you could say they did enough to win, but couldn't put them away late when it mattered most. I mean, when you have that kind of lead, 15 points or 14 points that late in the fourth quarter. We've seen it time and time again with the Ravens. You got to get the job done.
Yeah, the crazy 2-point conversion off the helmet. And Seattle going for 2, which was a ballsy move for them. But, yeah, I agree with you. The Rams, even though they're 3rd in your dirty dozen, when they get to the postseason, might be the favorites, according to the odds makers there.
Number 2 is the Patriots. You can call me biased because I had to see it up close and personal, them beating the Ravens the other night, but I was extremely impressed with Drake May. I mean, I knew he was in the MVP conversation, just looking at the stats. I knew he was playing well this year, but so much was made of the fact that they didn't play any really juggernaut teams, and I'm not saying the Ravens are, but I think that atmosphere, a desperate Ravens team that's fighting for their playoff lives, them being down double digits in the fourth quarter, I mean, he had ice in his veins, man.
Yeah,
not afraid to take a hit.
And lost Trayvon Henderson early in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I came away very impressed with them. I think they're deserving of number 2. And your new number 1, at least for me, they got to be after beating the Rams, it's the Seahawks. Another team that's close to complete in their own right. The Darnold stuff, it's real.
Turnovers.
It's a real concern.
Yes.
It's a very real concern. They fumble a lot. They turn the ball over a lot in general. But as we give credit to the Texans and the Broncos for their defense, Mike McDonald, that Seahawks defense, now granted, besides giving up, what, 37 to the Rams the other night, they've been pretty damn stout this year. I think if we're following the old adage, to be the best, you got to beat the best. If you were calling the Rams the best, they beat the best, so therefore they are number one.
In boxing term, he's the guy who beat the guy.
There you go.
That sort of thing. So Seattle number one, and you mentioned the turnovers. Aren't they tied with the Ravens for most fumbles lost in 2025?
They are. 12.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. That's Nolan's Dirty Dozen. We'll get his Feeble Five later in the show. We'll come back. Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today. Get his thoughts on the Ravens matchup with Green Bay coming up on Saturday. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Notes from the North. We'll do the whip around later in the 11 o'clock hour. So got Kevin calls and then the rest here on this busy Turn It Up Tuesday, Christmas week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.